I have a special guest today. I'm having more guests. I'm trying to branch out so I don't run my dang mouth for the whole 20 minutes. I have Bill Israel. Hello. Bill, thank you for coming in, man.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So I just got the notification that LinkedIn is live. So we'll wait a few more seconds. People trickle in again. Add us, comment, let us know where you're tuning in from. I know Bill would love to see your beautiful face. And again, the whole point of this is obviously to allow people to network and develop community. So again, please comment, please network, please slide in other people's DMs, and just obviously reference this show. Bill, before we get started today, and for the people around us, so we're doing a bedroom series. We're doing Guidance Counselor 2.0, the cribs. So we're both reporting live from bedrooms.
Yes.
Bill, thank you for making up your bed this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I make it up. My bedroom is my office, unfortunately. And so I make it up every day because the last thing anyone needs out there on the internet needs to see is my messy bed.
So here's my question. Are you a bed maker normally or not?
Yes. Okay. No, I am very much one of the first things I do in the morning is make the bed for sure.
Bill, I knew I liked you the moment I met you because bed makers, all the bed makers out there, please comment. All the people who are OCD, please comment now.
Yeah.
And we can all be friends. Kathy, good morning. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Tasha, what's going on? Andrew, what's going on? Andrew, I got your email about mics. I will get back to you a little crazy right now, but I will get back to you. So thank you for your email. Let's go ahead and get started. Again, thank you all for tuning in to Guidance Counselor 2.0. The whole point of the show is to develop community, foster an environment where people can learn from others. You learn from Bill today. I'm very excited to have Bill on. I'm going to let Bill introduce himself here in a second. But again, want to give some shout-outs to my team, Brandon Arve, Brandon78. Shout-out to them, who's doing a ton of my marketing efforts. Shout-out to Alex Pooler, Noah Allen, and Bianca as well, my marketing team around me. Sam Green. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Sam.
So all that being said, Bill, introduce yourself, and then we'll dive in.
Absolutely. My name is Bill Israel. I'm an engineering manager over at Built. I've been there a little over 2 years. It was 2 years back in, well, I'd say back in April, like that wasn't 4 days ago. And then, let's see, before that, I was at Eventbrite and a couple of small startups in town, Studio Now and Spin Setter, if anyone remembers that one for about the 12 minutes it was around.
Yeah.
And at Built, I'm over the integrations team. So, you know, a lot of Built technology needs to integrate with all sorts of weird banking systems and third-party APIs and that kind of stuff. And I'm trying to help do that as much as I can. So
that's awesome. Yeah. So Bill, Built has like won a crap ton of awards. I mean, literally like y'all are the golden child of Nashville right now.
Oh, thank you.
Talk, or at least I think so. talk about Built, what y'all do. Again, Bill is repping the Built t-shirt, and you're like, hey, it looks like a house. Bill, what do y'all do where your logo looks like a house?
It's a bee, and it's also a house. Built does, well, we're starting to do more things, but Built initially started as a construction lending, I call it groupware, kind of. The construction lending space is a very strange one. It's usually sort of a tinier corner of the bank in terms of like number of people. And so it is a part of a banking system where not a ton of technology actually sort of gets snuck in there. And so it's the workflow there is a lot of spreadsheets and emails and phone calls, and it's slow and kind of error prone a little bit. And so, gosh, I have 6-7 years ago or so, Chase and Andrew, sort of co-founders, decided like this could be better. There's construction is huge, tons of money in construction, and it's people kind of don't know where all of it is, and we can just do this. We can do this better. We can make it more efficient. And that's kind of what Built initially started as, right? Was getting those lenders and the owners and builders and inspectors all kind of in the same system, so they all have the same view of the data at the same time, and can draws and things can get out faster. Money can get from the bank to where it needs to go to the contractors and those kinds of things. just significantly faster and more efficiently. Awesome. And that's kind of where it started. And obviously it the plan is always to grow outside of that. But so we've been 6-ish years on that train, and I would say we're killing it.
Right? Well, and you are, and I want to go and dive into the meat and potatoes of this talk. Yeah. So we also too, it's been really cool because I got back to Nashville from Raleigh 6 years ago. I've literally seen y'all absolutely explode. And it's really cool. Built's got a special place for me because obviously we've been a part of helping you staff up your teams and obviously, you know, place a lot of people with y'all. And it's been cool to see y'all grow. So again, congrats to y'all and that's awesome. Let's dive into why I brought you here this morning, which is hiring and scaling. Yeah. So one, hiring, we could talk about that for the next hour. We're not going to, because we all have things to do. And then also scaling teams is probably another hour as well. So we're going to try to condense this in the next about 10, 15 minutes. So first off, talk about maybe some things companies should be mindful of, kind of your principles and your thoughts when it comes to scaling organizations and teams right now. And I want to give you a shout out live about hiring junior developers.
Yes.
Talk about maybe hiring junior developers and scaling and how you guys are doing it so effectively right now.
Sure. Scaling teams, especially teams, is tough. Scaling and hiring senior talent is even harder. And so one of the things that we try to be really good about is growing people within the organization. Certainly on my teams, I can probably speak most specifically for my teams, but I believe it generalizes to Built. Mm-hmm. It's generally better to take someone who's, you know, more of a mid-level dev and sort of train them up to be a senior and then hire junior and just sort of kind of constantly cycle that out. Because once they kind of get up to a senior, you know, maybe they go somewhere else, or maybe they just go somewhere else within the organization, which is really the hope, honestly, is that they take what they've learned from my team and then can kind of help apply that in other areas of the organization. And so scaling teams is, I sort of aim for a good mix of developers, right? I don't want to be too top heavy with seniors, and I don't want to be too bottom heavy with juniors. Both of those are kind of a drag in different ways. A couple of seniors who can kind of help the people underneath them and a couple of juniors who are kind of on their way up learning seems to be a good mix and works really well for us. Works really well for me too, again, specifically.
Right.
Scaling teams and how you sort of figure out how to break up this group and that group, that's going to depend a lot on the business. It's kind of hard. And really the only advice I can have there is you just sort of have to try things. Break it up, see what works, give it time. I think there's a lot of desire to make a change and then see it happen, you know, see that change happen immediately and see it be effective. But it takes teams, especially if you're shuffling people around, it takes teams a little while to gel and kind of get into that groove with each other. And so, you know, don't expect that to happen immediately.
Absolutely. And so my question to you is, let's do Bill's principles, right? So for your team, you have been able to scale your team very well. What are some just core things that you believe in, right? So let's take Built out of it. What are some core leadership principles that you believe in that you think's really helped you scale within your team?
Let's see. I'm not the world's greatest delegator necessarily, but I am. One, I'm working on it real hard. And so I think letting the people closer to the work make the decisions and then mostly have a dialogue about where that decision came from and why that's the right idea is super, super important, especially for your more senior people. They want to feel some ownership. And I think you get better work out of people and better product out of people if you let them sort of own it. And really just use me as sort of a sounding board or help figure out if we're headed in the right direction or if that matches sort of organizational direction, strategy, policy, whatever. Right. As for juniors, as strange as this sentence may sound, you got to let them struggle a little bit. Don't hand them every answer, you know, go off on your own and figure it out for a little while and just try to make it work. And, you know, don't struggle forever. I don't want juniors especially new people like right out of software school. I don't want them to sit out for days at a time just adrift trying to figure it out for themselves. You know, go figure it out for an hour, and if you get to a point where you are making no progress, come ask me. Let's talk about it. Let's sit down. Let's either do, I guess these days, let's hop on a Zoom and do it, and share a screen and point at some stuff. But you know, it's hard not to feed them stuff, right? It's hard not to feed people the answer, because if I know what it is, right. I just want to like help them get through it. But let them struggle a little bit, and then give top down, give those people, the seniors, the mid levels, those people, give them the opportunity to do the mentoring and do the work there. You know, it's all about reps, kind of like all about just getting that stuff in. And as those people interact more and learn how each other communicates, thinks, works, et cetera, the team honestly just gets more efficient. They kind of know what this person's going to do and what that's going to look like, what feedback works, what doesn't. Mm-hmm. And it has sort of this weird snowballing effect. And it's, so don't be too hands-on, too micromanagey. I mean, maybe that's too obvious, but
no, I mean, and listen, I'm at a point now. I mean, we're growing like crazy. I mean, the market's bonkers, right? And I'm kind of in this kind of flux role as well. And I think for sure, one thing that I try to keep in check, I think we as humans are inherently selfish, right?
I think so.
We want to control what we can control, right? And kind of have this grasp around our work. It's mine. I created. I mean, listen, Bill. I mean, you've been at Built from the get. I mean, you've developed a large part of the code base. It's your code. You don't want anybody to go in there and blow it up, I'm assuming, right? And so you're probably like, that's my baby. Don't mess it up.
But
you kind of have to grow.
You do. Yeah. You've got a pride and ownership there is really, that's something that I try to preach is probably the wrong word, but I try to hammer on pretty hard, especially with people just out of software school, is like, you are not your code. Code is going to change over time. Oh, like man. it's really not a big deal. You know, if somebody tells you that that's wrong, they're not telling you that you're wrong. The code is wrong. That's okay. We can change the code. Not a big deal. And yeah, you kind of get used to that a little bit as you have been around it more. Mm-hmm. It never feels good to watch somebody take something that you labored over real hard and just blow it up and tell you that it's all wrong. But you do, I don't know. It's part of the gig.
Absolutely.
You sort of have to swallow your pride there.
I know. So let's talk about interviewing real for the next few minutes. So interviewing is a thing that I think everyone sucks at for the most part. No one gets it right. And you can't like be tied to your people. If it doesn't work, be open and honest. I mean, I have thoughts as well, but I want to hear yours. We've worked with y'all for a bit. I think y'all's process is good, right? I mean, my argument is y'all can move faster, but y'all hiring so dang much that it's kind of hard to do that. So
it is.
What are your thoughts specifically around interviewing? Again, the people who are watching this are going to be more on the job search. So if you want to give some tips as well, but how does Built interview? How do you like how y'all interview? And then maybe some tips for people.
Do you want to know specifically about how we hire or how I hire, for example, engineers or?
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
Engineers. Okay. I hire mostly engineers, which is why. Specifically engineer hiring is real tough because there's a balance to be struck there between how much do you expect them to sort of write code in the interview and how do you sort of appropriately respect somebody's time and those kinds of things. And that's just a really tough balance to strike. And there's really no, we try to offer, if someone wants to do it in a take home, if like a live coding session is just a real stressful thing for some people, then great, take the code home. And we're going to have a slightly different conversation because you got to, you know, you had the privacy of your own home and the time constraints were different and the pressure constraints are different. So like, we're going to have a slightly different conversation about the code you wrote after when we get back together, but we will always get back together and talk about it. And if you choose to do it live, then my expectations are slightly different because the circumstances and context are all different. Sure. What I look for in a senior, I typically give juniors and seniors the same problem. And what I look for out of those solutions coming out of those people is just vastly different, right? I would expect and hope a senior is having a more sort of long view of the changes that they're making and why it might be important. And a junior, you know, I'm really, honestly, mostly, I'm really way less interested in the code that they write, and far more interested in their enthusiasm and their desire to sort of learn and the questions that they're asking and that kind of stuff.
Hold on. Say that one more time, because I get so many junior devs like, hey, how do I work on interview and how do I get better? How do I do, like, what about my code? Say that one more time for all you junior devs who are watching out or who will watch this. Bill just said it. Bill, say it again. That's what I've been saying.
Yeah, especially for juniors, way less interested in the code that they're writing and far more interested in their attitude, the enthusiasm, the questions they're asking, that kind of stuff. Junior devs, this is going to sound bad. Junior devs are all the same, right? Like, they're basically all the same. They don't know anything, and that's okay. That's exactly the way it's supposed to be. That's okay. Like, the goal of a junior dev is not for you to come in and know everything. I don't want you to know everything. I want to help you learn. That's the fun part for me for juniors, is like helping those people learn and get better. And so what I'm really just looking for is somebody that I'm going to get along with, who's got a killer attitude and who's excited to do the work. And I think that generalizes probably to, you know, not just engineers. That's certainly not true of just engineers. Probably. Like, that's it's a generally true statement, I think. But, you know, but again, my purview is mostly in engineering, but.
So outline y'all's interview process from the get. So you do usually do a 30-minute phone call.
Yeah. We usually it kind of depends on the person, but and sort of like where they are going to be. But for engineers, it's usually a quick phone call with me, just sort of sanity check stuff, ask some basic questions. It's mostly background, honestly. It's really not as much technical stuff.
Sure.
And then we do some sort of technical challenge, again, whether it's take home or in person. It's kind of up to whatever the person's most comfortable with. And then we'll, if it's a take home, we'll get back together and talk about it. We won't get back together and talk about it. If we're doing it live, we'll just do it then. And then it's a quick interview with the team, just to make sure everybody kind of gets to know everybody, and the team that they're going to be on gets a chance to ask the questions that matter to them. Sometimes there's an executive interview, right? Sometimes the CTO wants to talk to people. Sometimes they don't. Especially as they get further up the ranks, I think it's more important for an executive to talk to them. And that's it. Like, it's not a huge process. It doesn't take terribly long. Usually within the first two interviews, we know everything that we need to know by and large.
Right. So the one thing I see after meeting this point 4,000 or 5,000 engineers at this point in my career, like, I've obviously talked a lot about interviewing and whiteboarding and code challenges, web coding, and all of that. So let's talk about that real quick, and we'll wrap up on this. And again, for those of you who are watching, thank you again. Again, I haven't really shouted out Kathy of the bed making. Sal, you're my boy. Yes. Make bed first thing. Hassan, thanks for joining. Tasha, you were obviously smiling with something Bill said. I don't blame you. I've been smiling the whole time since Bill's been on. Sal, build your unicorns. Absolutely, not to mention unicorn finders. Humble brag. And then obviously love the struggle. So real quick, I haven't said this, and we'll get back to my last question on interviewing. I'm a big college football fan, specifically the University of South Carolina, where is where I graduated from. Go Gamecocks. We have hired a completely new staff, and I've been fascinated with the culture in the building, how it shifted. There's been a lot of conversation within the building of like where the culture was and what it is now. Our strength and conditioning coach, his saying is called struggle well.
Yeah.
And it's like, we in life, it's not a journey. It is a journey, but you have to know how to struggle and enjoy the struggle and struggle well. And that's one thing that resonated with me is like, listen, you have to be okay struggling. As a junior dev, you have to be okay not being okay.
Yeah. It's honestly all about learning how to find the information that you want, and, you know, learning to sort of be, you're going to pick up most of that stuff over time. And a lot of things I hear from juniors are, you know, I still don't remember this function, or I don't remember where this thing is in the code. I don't remember where that stuff is half the time. Like, that's okay. That's not a big deal. What you're really trying to learn is how to go find it. When you need it, and the stuff that you really use all the time, it'll eventually just sink in, and you won't even realize that it has happened. So learn to struggle, go find it.
Cool. I love it. So going back to the questions, last question about interviewing, what are your thoughts on why, like, how can developers be better without going to look at a book? I mean, what are your thoughts on what do you like to see developers, not necessarily solve the question, but what do you like to see that developers can keep in mind, can take away from this, be like, Bill said this, I will improve on this?
In an interview situation, I would much rather somebody just tell me, like, don't BS me, really. I can, especially if you're sort of more junior, like I can smell it a mile away. I know you don't know what you're talking about and you're just throwing out words you've heard. That's fine. It's okay not to know. I
That's
don't
what
know.
I do as a recruiter. I just throw out words.
Yeah, which is great. Like, I think from your perspective, that's fine. Like from a junior perspective, I just tell me you don't know and then ask and let's learn it. Let's learn it together. Like it gives me an opportunity to see what it's going to be like to mentor you in that situation. And that's super fun for me. And so if you're looking for, if you're going to get a whiteboard kind of interview, which I'm sorry if you do, I really hate those. Then, you know, maybe spend some time on HackerRank or CoderWars or something like that, just to kind of have a sense for some of those silly algorithms. Like most of those tests are really just how well do you know it off the top of your head anyway.
Is
And
that what
so
I don't know whiteboarding. Is whiteboarding mainly algorithms? Is that
usually
kind of a thing? Okay.
you, yeah, usually it is. It's usually like, can you reverse a string or can you know, do some sort of binary search thing? Like
No, I can't.
most of, if you don't know the answer, you're probably like, if you don't know going into it, the likelihood that you sort of it just divine the answer in that moment is approximately zero. Under pressure in front of somebody, it's almost zero. So like just have a couple of those under your belt. The other real trick, honestly, is use a hash map, use a dictionary of some kind. It's the answer to almost every single interview problem you'll ever come across.
A hash map.
Yeah, maybe this is too nerdy.
Okay.
Probably is. It there's no trick to interviews.
Okay.
Interviews are different everywhere. The real trick is enthusiasm, excitement, and being honest about what you know, what you don't know, ask questions, getting in there. Like that's the real honest answer. The other stuff is just depends on the place. And if a place says no, you probably weren't going to be that happy there anyway. Like it's probably not the place for you. Just go find,
It's almost like I know what I'm talking about because this is what
like,
I've been preaching
go
all.
find somewhere that is excited to have you there and that you're excited to be there. And if they're not excited, like move on. It doesn't matter. It just
What would you
doesn't.
say? And again, I want to ask you this, and then we'll wrap up here. And again, I have a lot of people commenting. Tasha goes, "Dude, I wish I had you interview me." Obviously, not me, Bill. I scored good on the IKM, but couldn't whiteboard a whole program. It's crazy what most expect. I know Tasha's more junior in her career. HackerRank is
Yeah.
deep when companies make up their own
Yeah.
destination.
Whiteboarding stuff is it's such a waste.
Hash map for the win. Seriously, Andrew, thanks,
Yeah.
man. Hash map with the hash map child. I love it. So what would you say? I feel, and we'll end on this. I feel like companies try to screen out instead of just say, "Hey, this person's good. Let's see where we can fit them in." What are your thoughts on that? Do you
Ooh.
think that's an like? Do you, I don't know. I'm interested because I just feel like companies try to beat people up.
Oh, yes. I do think some companies try to beat people up for sure. Man, I'm sympathetic to both sides of this.
Okay.
A
Yeah.
bad a bad hire is so troublesome, not for just for the organization, but for the person too. Right? Like it's just bad all around. It's tough on the organization because they spend tons of time and money and everything else trying to find the right person. If that person is a tough fit, then that person's miserable because they're on a team that they're not fitting in with and they're not doing a good job. And everyone's trying to like get the whole thing to work. And if it's just not going to work, but I do think companies probably screen out too fast.
Yeah,
I
I
think,
agree.
I think that's kind of the problem, right? Like, if I get 200 resumes for a junior position where they all kind of look the same, it's really hard. And so I do have to just kind of make some hard rules there and
Sure.
just say, this is the stuff that I really care about right now. Everything else is going to have to go because I have to whittle it down. Once you're talking to people, it's a real different ball game, and you really sort of have to dig a little bit harder and try to find like, what are the personality qualities? What's missing on my team that I'm trying to fill in? And that isn't always knowledge based, right? That is oftentimes personality based. I've got this
Love
person
that.
who's kind of quiet over here, and this person who's a little more sort of gregarious and outgoing. Can I have someone in the middle who might bridge that gap a little bit? Who might be,
Love
you know, because if these two aren't getting along, how do I find someone who's going to keep the whole thing together? And And so it's, if you're really screening just for knowledge, that's probably not the right answer. And I think a lot of people and a lot of organizations do that and screen just for what do you know, what will you know walking in the door? And I can teach someone Python in a couple of weeks. Like, it's not a big deal. So I don't care if you know Python or not, but if you're going to fit on the team and you're going to sort of fill a niche that I don't have and your attitude's great, yeah, get on my team.
That's it. And I want to end on that because that's perfect. Yeah. I think companies who are watching this, hiring managers who are watching this, there is a reason why Built is successful, not only because obviously their software that and the industry and that they capitalized, not that side. I have watched Built from an engineering side. There's a reason why they retain top talent. There's a reason why they're always hiring for growth. There's a reason why Bill has been there for so long. It's because of that answer from Bill. I think when companies can put a more focus on the people side of things instead of the tech side of things, with the tech being important, I'm not saying
It's not nothing, but
right. But I think that's where the magic happens. So Bill, man, thank you for coming on. Look at those locks, man. I love that.
Oh my God, my COVID hair. It's awful.
So jealous. So jealous.
Oh, please. It's terrible. My wife's on me about getting a haircut. So
It looks great. You can tell your wife. I think.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely.
I'll tell her that Taylor told me it was okay to keep it.
Who the heck is Taylor? Y'all, thank y'all for tuning in today. I appreciate it. Reach out to Bill on LinkedIn.
Please.
If you're on the Nash Dev Slack, I know Bill's on there as well. But again, Bill, thank you for coming on, man. And I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. This was a blast. Come back anytime.
The bedroom edition. Y'all have a good one.
Exactly. Bye, Taylor. Thank you. Bye.